All right, good morning, everybody. Good to see all these smiling faces. But we're going to finish up the one we've been working on since September. We've been doing Romans 12, 9 through 21. We took each passage separate because basically it was how a Christian life should live out, or a Christian life in action, right? What good is faith unless it shows? Faith and works run together, right? What good is faith without works? And works without faith is useless too. So the two are combined. And this little passage here tells us how to walk that out in the real world. And we live in the real world. We're here for a purpose, right? To give them the real answer, which we have. But I thought it was kind of, and this is the last week of this, and then next week Donovan is starting a four-part series. Donovan will be back for the month of December. He's like your Christmas present. I'm giving you a good teacher instead of me. You'll have Donovan for 4 weeks doing a series again, all right? But if you remember when we started this one off, it's kind of, I think, fitting that it starts off in verse 9 talking about love and then ends with good and evil, right? Verse 21 that we're going to be talking about tonight or this morning, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Short verse, but there is a whole lot in there. First of all, it starts talking about, we're talking about good and evil. It's kind of odd, because the first thing, if I did a word recognition like, you know, tell me the opposite of this, day, light, white, black, you know, just direct opposite on the color chart. But if I said good, what would you say? But no, really it's not. It's evil, not bad. Bad is not bad. Evil is bad, right? It's like the difference between pride and a haughty spirit. There's a big difference. Not just bad. We're all a little bit bad, but we're actually the opposite of good is evil. There's no excuse, you know. We can fall and do something bad. But evil is usually done with intention. That's the difference. You don't accidentally do evil. You might accidentally do bad, but you're not going to usually do evil accidentally. That's something that comes from the heart. That's something that's intended. That's something that's planned and worked out and walked out. So there is a big, big difference. And it starts all the way, when it first starts talking about good and evil, it's all the way in Genesis, if you remember, in the very beginning. Adam and Eve, right? Now that they know the difference between good and evil. There was no evil until that point. There was evil, but it wasn't in the world till that point. There was no good and evil. If there is no evil, there's only one thing, it's good. But how can you have good without evil? There's no reference point. Everything was the way it was supposed to be, perfect in the Garden of Eden, right? But God knows that anytime you give any of his creation self-will, evil finds a way to creep in. We blame Satan for evil, but really, when Satan was first created, he was perfect. Evil had come into him, right? Even without Satan, there would be evil. If there was no Satan, if he's already thrown in the lake, gone, you know, there would still be evil in us. The best definition from evil is not being in God's presence, not doing what God wants. Is evil. Anything that doesn't come from God is evil. Anything that comes from God is good. Simple way of putting it and a simple way of thinking about it. So let's stay with the good part. But all the way through it talks about in Genesis they were thrown out of the garden because there was two trees in the center of the garden. The one for the knowledge of good and evil, and the other was a tree of life. If you ate from that, you live forever. And if you remember in Genesis, they were thrown out after they found the difference between good and evil because he didn't want them to also eat from the tree of life and live forever, to bring evil into the world forever. So by throwing out of the garden, there was a chance, there was a hope. And they didn't know what that hope was, but we know now that that hope was Jesus Christ, right? For our sins. Because you're a bunch of sinners. I hate to tell you. If you weren't, why would we need Christ? Even Fred. Yeah, even you, Fred. I'm sorry. I know it's hard to believe, Britt. But I thought today what it's specifically talking about in this verse, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome by evil. Evil is going to try and overcome you. Evil is going to try and catch you. Evil is going to try and dictate what you do, right? It's looking out for you. Remember, the enemy, like evil, is just crouching, running around, looking for somebody to get a hold of. No good can ever come out of evil. That goes with what we were looking at last week about payback and retribution and revenge. I think that was Fred did that one, right, on revenge and stuff. Doing evil will never bring a good turn. The means do not justify the end. You can't do evil things and expect to get good out of it. It does not work that way. You want good results, do something good. You want evil and bad results, do something evil and bad. That's basically what it's telling us. But evil is trying to overcome us. You know, we're good at being evil. It's not hard. It's easier sometimes to be evil than good, right? I'm glad we have a problem with that, because we should. But honestly, it's the truth. Think about your life before Christ, right? I know, don't do that too often, but if you remember, evil come real easy. I didn't have any problem doing bad, right? Hard to believe, because I'm so good now. Don't laugh, Eddie. But it says, overcome evil with good. Again, there's the intention. It's a simple, simple fact that you get out what you put in. Like I said, if you put in evil, you're going to get out evil. Basically, what this is saying is always do what is right. A simple philosophy of Christianity. Always do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. You can write that down. Always do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. If you use that as a filter for everything, you can never go wrong. You cannot go wrong doing what is right. You cannot go wrong by doing what is good. Because our definition, what is good? What comes from God, right? You can never go wrong by doing what God says, correct? Take a look at a couple stories. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, the entire chapter 31. But in 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, it's simply Israel had won a great victory under Hezekiah. Got to try and read without glasses. Hezekiah. And he was a chief priest, and it was a time of plenty. He said, we start needing, everybody needs to get back in business, start tithing, right? And you'll be blessed. And the people started tithing, and there was and everybody was blessed. There was so much to go around that it started talking about how every priest in every city and every town was able to have a good living, their family, their children, and everything. But also, anyone that worked inside the temple got an allowance, got money and stuff. And there was actually so much money left over that they stored it up, and then it started to go. They had more stored up than they needed. So did they build more barns to store it? No. What they did was start distributing it to the poor. And this is what God said. This is what, in verse 20 and 21, at the end of 2 Chronicles 31, this is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before his God. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and obedience to the law and the commandments, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. You know, prosperity isn't a bad word. It's a godly word. You only prosper through God. If you're prosperous, it's coming from God, nowhere else, right? If you're poor, it's coming through God. You need to find out what it is. Is there evil people that prosper? Yes, for a short term. For a short term. Even if they prosper their whole life here, what good does that do them, right? But why he says the people were prosperous in this in 2 Chronicles 31 is because they started back in the law of giving the tithe back to God. and it filtered down through the priests and all the people that worked through the temple and even out into the poor. But I like what he says, and everything that he undertook, this is what Hezekiah did and throughout Judah, and doing what was good, right, and faithful before his God. Again, always doing what is right in the eyes of God, the eyes of our Lord. You cannot go wrong, because God sets a standard for good. We throw the word good and evil out all the time. But good only comes from God and what God said. Evil comes from doing the opposite, right? Or not even doing it. You don't even have to do the opposite. By not doing God's will, you're doing evil, right? In Genesis 4, verse 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? What does God ask of us? Simply do what I ask, right? Often use the analogy of parents. You have kids. Ones that say, oh, my kids are great. Why are they good kids? Well, they always do what I ask. My kids are terrible. Why? They never do what I tell them. There's a standard, isn't it? Where are we getting that standard from? God. Now, why don't we live up to the standard we're asking our kids to live up to? Do what God asks. Well, you don't know how hard it is to do what God asks. Yeah. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But if God asks you to do something, he's going to give you the power and strength to do it, right? And I guarantee, too, you'll get blessed somewhere down the road. Even Job. The story of Job. Think about poor Job, right? What he went through. Nobody remembers the end. He was prospered way beyond anything he had before. And think of all that he went through, the lessons that he learned. Could somebody go to Job and say, Job, you don't know how hard I have it. Hold on, I'm Job. I know, okay? Whatever you're going through is nothing compared to what I went through. Everything that God does has so many good opportunities. And that's the word good. Every time we think of good, think of God. And it's always going to work out. But in Genesis 4, 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Of course. I'm not going to be judged on what Eddie does. Eddie isn't going to be judged on what I do, right? I'm going to be judged on what I do. And what is right? Well, Lord, I did all this and this. Remember those two guys? I saved people. I cast out demons. He might not have asked them to do that, right? You tell your kids, oh, I got to hurry. I'm going to be late this morning. Would you go out and start the car, clean my car off? You go out and it's not clean. What? I asked you. Well, I cleaned the whole living room, Mom. I didn't ask you to do that. Simple. Do what God asks. And don't pretend he didn't ask you something, right? It's awful. If he asked me to go to Haiti, I'd probably have a hearing problem. I don't know if that's God. I got to lay out 12 fleeces over a one-year period or something, you know. But if he asked me to go to Hawaii, Pastor Don, I already put in my name, didn't I? Was I the first one that said, I'll be there? I'll be there. I already have my plan of salvation for the Hawaiians. Waikiki Beach, drink, umbrella, lay back. I take the track. I lay it on my belly. I go to sleep. When I wake up, if the track's still there, I'll pray harder. If I wake up and the track's gone, thank you, God, praise the Lord, put another track on, go back to bed. I got a plan. Back to Genesis 4, 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Just like it says here, evil is trying to overcome it. Sin is crouching at your door. It's all around you, right? Like running through a dog kennel of mad pit bulls or something. They're all over you. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now, how could we do that? Like with good. Good, again, is what? Anything that comes from God, right? That's what overcomes evil is good. And anything that's good comes from God, using God's ways, God's word, God's strength, Holy Spirit. Where does Holy Spirit come from? God, right? Where's prayer? Good. Talking with God. Deuteronomy 6:18. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight. You know, I'm showing here, too, it's interchangeable. Usually when they say good, they say right. Right and good run together, right? There's plenty of verses that have those two. And what does good mean? It means what is right. Everybody throws out that passage. Doesn't rain fall on the righteous and the unrighteous? Has anybody read the verse before that? Okay. He uses the same analogy, but it talks about good and bad. Does this not happen to the good and bad? Then it says the right and the righteous, right? So what is it saying? Good is right. Bad or evil is what? Unrighteousness. So when we're talking about doing what is right, we're talking about doing what is good. When we're talking about doing what is good, we're talking about doing what is right. And both of them are dictated by God's eyes, not us. It is not our job to figure out what is good and evil, thank goodness. That's God's job, right? Yeah. Pardon? Absolutely. Whatever's in your heart, you have to have a good heart. You ever hear somebody say, well, he has a good heart? How many people have opened him up and looked at his heart? Yeah, it's good. No, what are they judging that by? Actions, right? And that's what this whole 9 through 21 talks about, a Christian life being walked out, how to walk it out, Christian life in works. And that's exactly what we're talking about. When we say somebody has a good heart, how do you judge it? By what he does. He does good. What you do comes out of your heart. You know, somebody with a bad heart can do good and it still shows, right? If you've got just the smallest amount of spirituality, you can tell when somebody's lying to you anymore, right? I used to sell used cars. on a lot on Verner and Hubbard, prime real estate. Never once did I tell a lie about a car. You remember that lot?
I remember that lot.
Oh, was it Jakey? It wasn't something you'd write home about. We couldn't even keep a dunk guard dog. Every time we let it out, it ran away. All right. It says, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, though, so it may go well with you. Who wants things to go well? You can't go wrong by doing what is right. You can't go wrong by doing what is good, because both come from God. What is right and what is wrong comes from God. What is good and what is bad are dictated to us by what God says, right? Not the whims of the Supreme Court or anybody else, because they change, right? The only thing that does not change is God. Facts and science change. Any book you have, textbook, any college kids out there, read it. Fifth abridged edition. What's that mean? That's the fifth time we went through the book and changed the mistakes. So the first time you taught me, you were teaching me a lie? Basically, they were teaching you something that wasn't right or proven. Now they proved that it wasn't right. It's all theories. The only thing that's not a theory is God and his word, right? And when we're talking about good and right, it's so simple. It's simply what God says. Deuteronomy 12:28. Be careful to obey all these regulations I am giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord. It's good and right to keep his commandments and decrees. God has those commandments and decrees, what? To keep us under his thumb, right? Keep us in place. I'm keeping you in place, lady. I'm giving you some rules. No. They're out of love for our own good. God doesn't give us regulations to box us in. God gives us regulations to give us freedom. Those regulations give us freedom, not box us in. Don't let the world lie to you. It's their regulations. Freedom that the world gives you boxes you in. Just the opposite. And again, it says, always go well. If you do what is right, it will always go well. You can never, and I'll repeat this, go wrong by doing what is right. It may get you in trouble, but it's still you have done what's right, in the end it's going to work out. I've seen that so many times in so many lives, including my own, right? It's not always easy to do that, right? To do what is right. But it's the only way. Anything that other than right is something that doesn't come from God. And that's evil. And what becomes of evil? What does evil begot? More evil, right? Take a look at a couple more verses here. Proverbs 17:13. Evil will never leave the house of him who pays back evil for good. A person, you do good to someone and they repay it with evil, you will get a reward. What will they get? Evil. Because it will never leave their house. Never repay evil for good. Just what this first verse that I'm reading here says, right? How do we overcome evil? By doing what is right. Turning it into the hands of God, right? Again, it was like Fred talking about, vengeance isn't ours, it's God. We do what is right. He'll take care of business, right? They're probably better off with our revenge than God's revenge, wouldn't they? Believe me, he can do a lot worse than you can, right? What's going to happen in God's eyes when they stand in front of God is a lot worse than a punch in the nose. Psalm 34:14. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Turn from evil and do good. It's a theme throughout the Word, right? Evil is bad. Good is good. What was that old commercial or something? That just rung a bell somewhere there. Oh, well. But turn from evil and do what is good. You know, there's always hope for an evil. There again, we're touching on salvation. We were all evil at one time, right? We all have that capability still in us. The only thing that's stopping us from walking that out is Christ in our life, sitting on that throne, right? So we need to turn from that evil and do what is good. If you've been evil to this point, God says, I'm still giving you a chance. You're still alive. You still have hope, Sarge, right? There's hope for you. Till the day you yawn and you hit wood, okay? Then there's no hope. But up until that point, you can turn from evil and do what is good. And you'll get the same just awards. What's the word talk about the people working in the vineyard? The guy that worked for an hour got the same wages as the guy who worked for 8 hours, right? If you're saved on your deathbed, is that different than being saved when you were a teenager? No, salvation is salvation, right? Heaven is heaven. They might be, it talks about rewards in heaven. They might be a good part and a bad part, but buddy, I'll be happy to live in the ghettos of heaven, all right? If I'm the one that's putting my pants out, I'm still the happiest man in the world, because look at the alternative. What, is there good and bad places in hell? I don't know, but still, I don't want the penthouse in hell. I'll take the ghetto, I'll take the projects in heaven any day. Turn from Psalm 37, verse 27. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. He's talking about the promised land. Same for us. What's our promised land? Our promise is in what? Christ and the salvation, right? We get that by turning from evil and doing what is good. Without that, there is no salvation, is there? You have to turn from evil. This is just throughout the Word, if you ever stop and take a look at it. Good and evil. Proverbs 11:27. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. Whoever seeks good finds favor. Even if it doesn't work out, the fact that you were trying to do what is right is what counts in God's eyes. But evil comes from one who searches it out. Like I said at the beginning, evil and bad are two different things. We can accidentally do a bad thing. You don't accidentally do an evil thing. You search it out. Evil comes from the heart. It's something that's done intentionally. It takes time, purpose, thought to do that. And that's an evil person. We all make mistakes and do something that's bad. You know, like Santa says, naughty. Right? But there's a big difference between that and an evil. an evil person. Evil, it comes from somebody's heart. There's a difference between making a mistake and sitting down and planning to do bad. That's evil. Amos, chapter 5, verse 14. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. That's odd. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Again, we're talking about salvation and afterlife. We all live forever, right? I don't care how bad. We're all going to live forever. The point is, where are you going to live, right? If you're good, you're going to be in heaven. If you're evil, you're going to be in hell. Plain and simple. That's not hard to understand. There's only two choices. There is no door number three. There is no purgatory or flying spirits running around here in the world waiting to land somewhere or something. Second part of Amos 15. Hate evil, love good. Plain and simple. And it even goes on to use that as maintain justice in the courts. I don't even want to get into that today. But simply, let's go with hate evil and love good. Hate what is evil. Gosh, God's a God of love. You know, he just loves everything. God just loves him some evil. No, God doesn't love evil. God hates evil. What was our definition of evil? Something that doesn't come from God. Only thing that can come out of God is good. Righteousness, right? Seek good, not evil. Love good, hate evil. These are simple. There's no doubt here. There is no gray line, is there? These are pretty simple. Oh, here was that verse that I was talking about earlier, Matthew 5:45. I forgot the verse too. In Matthew, and this is a quote, but it's quoting Old Testament thought, but that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. We always just quote the back part of that. We never stop and take a look at the front, right? So many quotes are half quotes. Not that that's wrong, but when somebody throws a quote out there, go read the rest of it, right? Make sure what they're talking about. This is absolutely right. He causes the sun rises on evil people, doesn't it? Right? Don't blame God for that. Well, God, it's all your fault. You brought the sun up on those evil people. No, he brought the sun up for the good people. The evil people are just getting a little benefit from that. Maybe they have an opportunity to see what good is. The only sun they ever see may be us. Closest they may ever come to an encounter with Christ is seeing us do something. Not even open our mouths sometimes, but do something. And that's what we're talking about, doing what is right. You don't know who's looking at you. You don't know who's listening in on your conversations, right? But if you always do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, you can never go wrong. He'll take that and run with it. Matthew 12:35. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. A good man, this is an answer to your question you had a moment ago about where does this come from. It's stored up in him, like I mentioned, in your heart. You were exactly right. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings out evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Good cannot come out of evil. So God is saying, do not repay evil with evil because it's going to come to good. The only way to get good is do good. You do good, you'll have good results. You do evil things, you'll have evil results. No matter what is right or what is wrong, you simply do what is right. You don't justify in your mind and decide, well, should I be good? Should I not be good? I want to be on Santa's list. I want to be good, right? I don't want a lump of coal. I want to go to heaven, you know? I'm sure it's nice up there, almost as good as Hawaii. In Romans 9, love must be sincere. Again, if you remember, this whole scenario in verse 9 started out that love is genuine. And we're ending in verse 21 in Romans. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And it says it right there in Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. That's the only way to be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Simple philosophy, but one that will work every time. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, a good healthy steak, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. Right? To distinguish between good and evil. Why is it talking about, usually when it talks about meat and stuff, what was he talking about? Getting into the Word, wasn't it? You're not ready for the hard stuff in the Word yet. Or you should be, but you're not doing it. In either case, those were references to the Word. And I think the same reference applies here. How do we figure out what is good and what is evil? Again, we don't have to. God has done that for us, right? If you have any doubts, you go to His Word, right? He explains what is good, what is evil. I'm going to end with this. 3 John 1, verse 11. Dear friend, or chapter 1, verse 11. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Right? Do not imitate. Pattern yourself after somebody that's good, not somebody that's evil. You want to set a standard that's good, not a standard that's evil. We're all going to imitate something or somebody. We've all had heroes in our life, somebody that we looked up to. They better be good, right? Make sure that if you're going to imitate something or somebody, simply make sure it's good. Imitation is good if it's something good. Anyone who does what is good from God, this is anyone who does what is evil is not, has not seen God. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Plain and simple, like I said at the beginning, right? That's why I'm ending with this one. Anything good, your simple scenario between good and evil. Good is anything that comes from God. Nothing evil, nothing bad can come from God. If it's what God says, what God does, what God wants, it's good. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Evil doesn't come from God. Evil comes from not being in God's presence, not having God involved in it. Anything that God is not involved in is going to turn evil. It can even start out good. There's many things that have started out good, but slowly we wean God out of it, it turns evil. If God isn't part of it, it's evil. Make sure that God is part of your life, part of every decision, part of everything that we say and do, right? I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but these are things you can take and they'll pop up maybe when somebody's asking a question or talking to you, you know, why should I be good? Oh, got a million reasons, right? But it's very simple. There is no gray lines in the Word. Well, you know, there's interpretational, you know, there's that gray area that the Word doesn't really describe. Do what is good, hate what is evil. You can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong by doing what is good. Amen?